Well, today we are finishing our series that we have just called God's Love Frees Us. And the whole point of this series has basically been to say this: what does it actually look like to live loved? It's one thing to know that God loves you. It's another thing to live like He loves you. So He loves you so much, and how do you know how much He loves you? Well, one of the ways that you can see is how much freedom are you walking in? Because God's love frees us. And one of the ways that you know that you are walking in God's love for you is you are walking in increasing freedom. But the real blessing of the Christian life is not when you learn something new. It's not new knowledge, but walking in a new life. That's the real blessing of the Christian life. So it's not knowing more. It's walking into the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. That's why in Ephesians 3, 17, Paul said this: "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love," here's a key phrase, "that surpasses knowledge, so that you may know something you can't know." "So that you may know the love of God that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." So the prayer in this series has been that whatever knowledge you have about God's love for you would move from your head to your heart. That you would not just be able to recite and not be able to just say, but that you would encounter by a revelation of God, His personal love for you. And when you experience His love, it changes everything. Now, our soul as humans is so needy, the only thing that can satisfy it and the only thing that can fill it is the love of God. St. Augustine, the great church father, said it like this: "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." So you can put anything in your heart you want to, and you can put as much of it in your heart as you want to, but the only thing that'll ever satisfy your heart is the love of God, because your soul is too big to be satisfied by anything but God's love. Your soul was created to be loved by God, and until you find that, your soul will be unsatisfied. But here's the other thing. When your soul and your heart begin to be filled up by the love of God, you know something amazing happens. It doesn't leave room for a lot of other stuff. So what does it look like, this phrase that Paul used in Ephesians, all the fullness of God? Well, here I brought a couple things here just as an illustration. So imagine that your life is like this glass of water, okay? And imagine like it's like filled to the top. How many of you live a full life, right? I can't remember the last time I heard anybody say, "I'm not busy." Everybody says, "I'm busy," right? Yeah, everybody's full, okay. So the question is, what are you full of? Because here's what happens. You don't know what you're full of till you get bumped. Now, if this glass were your life and it were full of whatever you're full of and I bumped it, guess what would happen? What's inside would splash out. And so you really don't know what you're full of until you get bumped. Until somebody backs into your car or slows you down or cuts in front of you at the grocery store or your spouse does that thing again. We've talked about this, right? Or you don't see it coming. Somebody bumps into you and whatever's inside you comes out. So if it's fear or rejection or anxiety or pride or worry or jealousy or envy or anger or bitterness, guess what's going to happen when you get bumped? It's going to come out and splash on those around you. So that's one way you can sort of see, am I filled with the love of God? Let me give you a second way and I brought a little pouch of tea, okay? Oh, I was surprised I was able to open that. In practice, I didn't do so well. So here we go. So what your life is like, and I call this, the first one's the bump test. The second one's called the temperature test. You don't really know what's in you until the heat goes up. But like a little pouch of tea, when the heat begins to rise and you kind of submerge your life in it, what you're going to find over a few minutes is when the circumstances go bad, when the pressure gets intense, when the trials of life turn the heat up on you, when three or four or five or six or can you even believe it, 12 things go wrong at the same time, everybody's good. When everything is good, praise God. Like today, everybody just looks better, don't you? Because it's so pretty outside, you know what I mean? But you ought to be here in the middle of a thunderstorm. Oh, you know, everybody's dragging in. I barely made it. I had to park in the back. My foot's wet and I got mud on it. My hair's all down. Makeup's ran off my face. Well, at least I made it. You know, a day like today, it's like, oh, you know, you got people who've never sang before and they're just standing and singing. Right? You know why? Because the water's not hot. But when the water gets hot, and you can watch this as the service goes on, what's inside you is going to filter out. And it's going to color everything around you. So the bump test and the temperature test teaches us that whether it's a circumstance or it's a conflict, when things change, what's inside of us comes out, and you never know what's inside of you until it comes out. So in this series, the whole goal has not been to teach you something new. It's to invite you into an encounter and a revelation for the love of God for what's inside you. God loves what's inside you, and God wants to fill inside of you with his love. So the prayer has been, and my invitation to you has been, just like we talked about in the prodigal son story, Father, I open my heart to you. And maybe what God's inviting you to do is open your heart to him in a way that you never have. Or maybe in a deeper way or in a different place. And I can tell you, every week of this series, we've heard stories of encounter and divine appointment and how God's love is met people in a special way. So God's love frees us, we said, from the world, from fear, from performance. And today I want to end the series on this. God's love frees us from worry. God's love frees us from worry. So Jesus, unsurprisingly, preached the greatest sermon that was ever preached. And it's called the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is what life in God's kingdom really looks like. The Sermon on the Mount is, what does it look like when you really live loved? That's what this sermon is about. And so this morning, I want to read a portion of it. It's several chapters. We're not going to read all that. But I want to read a portion of it. And here's what I want to invite you to do. As I read it to you, I want to ask you to try to listen with your heart, not with your head. And I want to ask you to try to listen as if God were speaking these things to you personally and you were sitting with him one-on-one somewhere and he was saying this to you. He was calling you by name. So let's read it. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What does this verse basically say to us? You are loved. God loves you and he cares about you. And when God loves you and you receive his love begins to free you from worry. Do you know that you were never created to worry? Do you know when God created Adam and Eve and the human race, he didn't design in our DNA we weren't built to worry. We weren't made to worry. We weren't designed for it. And that's why it tears us up inside like a cancer. We're not good at it because we're not made to do it. That's not what we were designed to do. And so we all have to say sometimes, you know, we know God loves us, right? But if we're honest, most of us are pretty good at worrying. Right? Most of us are pretty good at it. I mean, we know how to worry. I mean, some of us, I think it's our spiritual gift. You know, I have prophecy, I have faith, I have worry. Amen. How would that play at Fine Arts? I'm gonna go on stage and worry. If there was an award given out for worry, for who did it the best and who did it the most, if we're really honest, we would probably form a long line right down the center aisle and have to fight for who's going to get it. What do we worry about? Well, we worry about artificial intelligence taking all our jobs. We worry about rising sea levels and the Iran war. And I don't know if you heard, but Spirit Airlines shut down, and the stock market, and inflation, and the mole on our back, and the future, we worry about invasive species, and the next pandemic, whenever that is, and the person who took our cart at the grocery store, and now I can't get my quarter back, and families, and being lonely, and we make up conversations in our mind with other people that haven't even happened yet, and we worry about them. And we worry about small things, and we worry about big things, and we worry about how much we worry. Right? And it's almost like sometimes we're more comfortable living in worry than we are living in love. And it's like sometimes we're more comfortable living in worrying about the future than living loved in the present. But the Bible declares and God declares you and I are loved, and love frees us from worry. But here's the catch on this. Like, I can teach that to you and I can say that to you until I'm blue in the face, and you can say it to me until you're blue in the face. But you know what? It doesn't do any good because it's just knowledge. It's true. It's true knowledge. It's truth. It's God's truth. But it's just knowledge. It's got to be a revelation. It's got to be, we have to personally encounter his love for us, or it doesn't do any good. But let me go a little step further and share with you from Scripture what God's heart for you actually is. We all know that 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what love is, but 1 John tells us that God is love. So what does that mean? Well, 1 Corinthians tells us. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:4. God is patient. Why is God patient? Because God is love. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. God does not boast. God is not proud. God does not dishonor others. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. God keeps no record of wrong. Just in case you're one of those people, and I think most of us have been one of these people at some point that thinks that God is mad at you, God keeps no record of wrong. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. God always protects. God always trusts. God always hopes. God always perseveres, and God never fails. And what's beautiful about this is God never fails, and because God is love, watch this, God's will for you is good. God is good, and his will for you is good. And his intention toward you is good, and his thoughts about you are good. But we get tangled up in worry that robs us of the love of God. And so when worry starts to move in, God's love starts to move out. Do you know what worry is? Do you know what the technical, like a definition of it is? Worry is when we torment ourselves with disturbing thoughts. Actually, it comes from a German word, wurgen, which means strangle. Worry is when you strangle the life out of yourself, when you torment yourself with disturbing thoughts and you just play them over and over and over like a broken record. So if you compare worry and love, I would say it's like this. Worry is being consumed with what might happen. Love is being confident that God is good and he's for you. These things don't coexist. So when we know that God loves us, when we know the love that surpasses knowledge, worry is drowned in love. So I can't just, have you ever had someone when you're really worried about something say, hey, don't worry about that. Did it work? It never helps, does it? No, what you want to do is you just got bumped. What you want to do is you want to punch them. Don't worry. Let's switch lives and you don't worry. How about that? That'd be fun, wouldn't it? It doesn't work. Why? Because love actually, when it moves in, it moves worry out. It's not an intellectual exercise. I just can't stop worrying. Well, I never thought of that. I just flip the switch. If I could do that, man. You know, it's like someone goes, hey, don't worry about it. You're like, oh, what a revelation. It never crossed my mind that I should just stop. How fun would that be? Just stop worrying. When love moves in, worry moves out. When you open your heart to the love of the Father, worry begins to leave. When you close your heart to the love of the Father, worry starts to move in. That's the way it works. Here's the thing about love, though. When love moves in, like it doesn't just sweep the floor and dust off some of your knickknacks. Love has a fire sale. It drags all that junk out of the curb and it says, you don't live here anymore. So all the emotion and all the feeling and all the attitude and all the perspective and all the opinion, you don't belong here anymore. That's what love does when it moves in. It changes the atmosphere of what's inside here. So living in worry is living like you're not loved. I want you to think about that. The next time you're overwhelmed with worry about something, I want you to pause and stop yourself and say, where in my life do I not feel loved by God right now? Because wherever it is, that's what's allowing that worry to move in. There's something inside your heart or mind or soul in that moment that is feeling neglected or abandoned or rejected or unloved by God, and it's allowing that worry to just rise up. So what can we do? If we can't just stop worry, what do we do? Well, you don't do anything. And you don't stop trying to worry. What you do is you start something. What do you start? You start receiving the love of God for you and let those worries drown in his love. And if you'll just keep receiving his love and receiving his love and receiving his love and receiving his love and until your soul becomes convinced, until you've encountered his presence and his goodness and love for you, those worries start to move out. We love verses in the New Testament and the Old Testament that show us God's goodness. And I just want to speak to your worry this morning. Whatever worry you may have, I want to speak the goodness of God to it, and I want to speak the love of God to it, and I want to share several verses with you. Let's start in Genesis 50. Are you ready? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done. Romans 8, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. 1 Peter 5, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. John 16, 33, Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And Jesus again in John 15, 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Remain in my love. These verses take on a different meaning when you're not just trying to stack knowledge up in your head, but you've encountered the love of God for you. Man, they're like a good meal when you're really hungry. You take those things into your soul and you say, man, that's true. That's true because I know it's been true for me. When love moves in, worry moves out. We have to open ourselves to the love of God. When God was leading the children of Israel from bondage and slavery in Egypt into the promised land, God knew that the people, he knew it'd be a long journey, and he knew that the people would face giants, and they would face fortified cities, and trials, and problems, and challenges, and storms, and they'd have to cross rivers. And he knew across that long journey with a lot of obstacles, there'd be a lot of opportunity to worry and their heart to get discouraged and for them to quit. So you know what God did? He gave them what's called the priestly blessing. And so what would happen during that journey is God gave Aaron, some of the other priests, the priestly blessing, and the priests would speak over the people, and he would speak into the people the love of God. You ever feel like your life's been a long journey? Anybody? Your life's kind of been a long journey? Things happen in your life you didn't think would ever happen? Like you faced some things you didn't know you were ever going to face? You were blindsided by some things you didn't see coming. Would you just allow me today to speak the priestly blessing over you and to confront that journey of discouragement with the goodness of God so that you won't get discouraged and that you'll have strength for the journey? Let me speak the blessing over you from number 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. May he sustain you and uplift you and hold you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God help you to endure with his grace. And the Lord turn his face toward you. He's not looking away from you. He's not neglecting you. He's not indifferent to you. And give you peace. And Aaron would pray this blessing over the people and into the people. And as he prayed the love of God and the goodness of God into people, it would drive the worry out. But here's the thing about it. God blessed them. You know what the people did to deserve it? Nothing. God chose. And do you realize that that is an Old Testament picture of a New Testament reality? Do you know that if you are in Jesus, you are blessed? You don't have to pray to be blessed. You're already blessed. You don't have to ask God to bless you. You're already blessed. He blessed you in Jesus. Matter of fact, he doesn't have any more blessings to give. He just backed the truck up and unloaded all of it on you at one time. You don't believe me? I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read it to your soul. And as I read it to your soul, I'm going to ask you to open your heart. This is a New Testament reality. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who might, who could, who will, who has blessed us with what? In the heavenly realms with how many? All of them. All of them. He bankrupted heaven. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. Why? He chose us. You didn't pick him. He picked you. He chose us. He chose us in him before the creation of the world. Not before you were born, not before your mama was born, but before Adam and Eve were made. He chose you. He saw you coming from thousands of years. He chose you in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And what did he do all this in? In love. There it is. In love. He did all this in love. He predestined us for adoption to sonship, to be sons and daughters through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure. You ever have somebody bless you, but they don't really want to? It don't hit right, does it? But you ever have somebody bless you and you feel like they're getting more out of it than you are? It was his pleasure to choose you. It was his pleasure to love you. It was his pleasure to adopt you. He wanted to do it. Nobody made him do it. It was a joy to him to do it. And in Christ, you are his beloved son. You are his beloved daughter, we said last week, in whom he is well pleased. When love moves in, worry moves out. So what does that mean? That means that you can deal with whatever crisis is coming. You can deal with the challenges that are coming. You can deal with the mountain that you've got to climb, with all the things that are rattling around inside your head. You can live free of them because you are loved. Jesus spent an afternoon at the home of two sisters, Mary and Martha. And the Bible says that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened to every word that he said, focused, and was present there with him. But the Bible says that Martha was distracted. She was, you know, busy, trying to get all the things done. And as time went by, her worry grew. It got stronger and stronger and stronger. She began to think, how am I going to get all this stuff done? And she's starting to get more frantic. Anybody know what a tizzy is? She worked herself up in a tizzy. Anybody know what a tizzy is? She worked herself up in a tizzy. And she's thinking to herself, I mean, I've got to do all this stuff by myself while my sister sits out there on her bottom and just stares. I wish I had time to just stare at Jesus. Oh, wouldn't that be great? I got all this stuff to do. I'm in here by myself. Now I'm doing my job and I'm doing her job. Then she finally turns to Jesus and says, Jesus, tell her to help. Now I'm doing Jesus' job. Have you ever been there? I've so been there. I got to do my job and your job and God's job and everybody's job. I've been there. And Jesus said to Martha, 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 you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. when you open your heart to the Father and sit at His feet, love moves in and worry starts to move out. Can I just be honest with you? Sometimes I don't do that. I just tell you the truth. I guess I'm supposed to say I always do that because I'm a pastor. I don't always do that. Sometimes I choose to worry rather than sit at His feet. I don't know. Sometimes it's the adrenaline of the stress. It's energy, you know? Yeah. Man, this big problem, and isn't it a big problem, and it's such a big problem, and then there's this big problem, and it's really big, and it's bigger than we think it is. Woo! Man, we're out here skiing on the Black Diamond now. Yeah. And sometimes for me, I think if I just do enough laps around the circle that I'll, you know, maybe I'll figure it out. And then sometimes I think it's just rebellion. I think I'm just like, God, you're not going to help with this, so I gotta do it. I'll do it myself then. Kind of Martha-like. And sometimes I choose worry over love. Do you ever do that? Sometimes I do that. And here's the thing. You and I have the same choice. We can choose worry over love anytime that we want. And do you know what you get when you do that? Worry. You get nothing good. You get self-torment and harassment and strangulation of all the good things that God is trying to bring in your life. But what did Jesus say to Martha? Martha, Martha, one thing is needed. And do you know what I think Jesus is saying to us this morning? Man, man, you are worried and upset about many things. Woman, woman, you are upset and worried about many things. Student, you are upset and worried about many things. Senior adult, you are upset and worried about many things. Young adult, you are upset and worried about many things, but one thing is needed. One thing is needed. Would you stand with me this morning? As our worship team comes, I want to ask you just to quiet your heart for a moment. And if you would, I want you just to begin to pray and say, Lord, I open my heart to you today. You don't have to try to fix worry. Worry's not a problem to be fixed. Lord, I open my heart to you today. Father, I open my heart to you today. God, I ask you to let your love move in. As our worship team leads us in this song, would you just sit at Jesus' feet for a minute? And would you just allow His word and His truth and His spirit, His presence, His kindness and His goodness to move into your heart?